Welcome to the Women in Diplomacy podcast. I'm your host, Kelsey Sumnicht, and our interview today is with Nadia Milanova. She's a NATO officer at Political Affairs and the Security Policy Division. She's working on the Building Integrity Program within the Policy and Programs team. Welcome, Nadia.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Thank you for joining us. Can you tell us about the Building Integrity Program? What is it?
The Building Integrity Program has been launched in 2007. It has been launched as a response to the need to implement the NATO Partnership Action Plan on Defense Institution Building. If you look at this plan, you would see the commitment of NATO to work to create effective and efficient defense institutions. This action plan actually lists 10 principles of what would make an efficient and effective defense institution. So the NATO Building Integrity Program was created to provide a pragmatic approach to the implementation of these 10 principles that are embedded into this action plan. It has started as a very innovative program to provide tools and methodology to be able to embed the principles of good governance and to reduce the risk of corruption in the defense and security sector. As you might imagine, this is a very important topic. So the program started with a very small steps at the beginning, with the help of a number of subject matter experts from outside, think tanks, non-governmental organizations, to be able to develop a good methodology to be able to work on this topic. Now we are in our ninth year of existence. Next year, we will celebrate 10 years of the creation of that program. And we are at a very important stage of the evolution of the Building Integrity Agenda. At the Warsaw Summit, the NATO heads of state and government have endorsed the NATO Building Integrity Policy. This policy represents a major shift because it reaffirms the importance of good governance in the defense and security sector. It also speaks a lot about the principles of integrity, transparency, accountability in defense institutions. And it also reaffirms the importance of this topic for the alliance, for NATO as an organization, for allied countries, and for partner countries. And as I said, it represents a major shift. It's worth noting that the BI program was first created to provide a response to the question of good governance in partner countries. And gradually the program expanded to cover allied countries. And now we say like the topic is equally important for partners and for allies, but also for NATO in the context of its institutional adaptation.
Very exciting work indeed. So what does this mean for day-to-day activity here at NATO? Can you tell us about a typical day for an officer in the Political Affairs and Security Policy Division, such as yourself?
I am in charge of introducing the BI concept, philosophy, and framework within allied countries and partner countries. I have a geographical responsibility for a number of countries, from the Western Balkans, but also allied countries, Western European partners, partners around the globe, but also I'm in charge of introducing BI within Afghanistan as well. So as you see, my geographical portfolio is very large indeed. We have developed a number of building integrity tools and methodology, and one of those tools is the self-assessment questionnaire and the building integrity peer review process. We try to encourage nations to actually undertake the self-assessment questionnaire to be able to find out for themselves as to whether they have the right policies and procedures into their defense establishments that would prevent the risk of corruption or mitigate corruption risks in their system. Once the country starts the self-assessment questionnaire, our next step would be to summarize the findings and then to conduct peer review visits. That would actually result in a final peer review report, which NATO would submit to the country. This is a very interesting process, and my work actually would involve an analysis of the self-assessment questionnaires, making a team of experts to bring to the country to do the peer review, then to conduct the interviews and meetings at the Ministries of Defense in the respective country, and then to finalize the report. This process is very interesting in itself because it provides us with an opportunity to actually work directly with the Ministries of Defense in the countries that have decided to undertake the self-assessment questionnaire and peer review process. It helps us analyze and provide a snapshot of their system as of the time when the analysis takes place, to be analyzed the different procedures and different policies they have in place, and to make an assessment as to what are the good practices they have introduced into their Ministry of Defense to reduce the risk of corruption, but also what are the areas that need to be improved. Once we come up with the recommendations, we encourage nations and ministries of defense to develop and introduce an integrity plan with concrete measures to be able to address the areas that would need improvement. In this process, then, we move on to provide a tailored support to the countries in a number of functional areas, like human resources management, financial resources management, democratic parliamentary oversight of the defense sector. So these are practical areas where we try to match the expertise that we have either at NATO or outside of NATO through a network of implementing partners and subject matter experts, and to match their expertise with the needs of the respective Ministry of Defense. So if I have to summarize in a way, I feel like I'm an agent of change. Introducing the concept of building integrity is in itself a very interesting exercise. Also talking about the integrity at the level of the individuals and at the level of the institution, generating change, supporting change, and also promoting the need for a change in the organizational culture of an organization, which means like we need to inspire a lot of people. We need to inspire the political leaders in a country. We need to provide them with a confidence that actually we would guide them through this process in full confidence, and we'll be able to match their needs with their respective expertise. So this is one part of my work. But the routine day, of course, would include a number of organizational tasks. Basically, being able to plan the resources, the expertise that we have at hand, and be able to see where the priorities are and how we can actually contribute through our resources to the respective needs that have emerged. So I'm in daily communication with the Ministries of Defense in allied countries and partner countries to be able to draft their programs, to be able to listen to their requests, to be able to analyze their requests for tailored support and see how we could provide this tailored support to them over time. So it also includes a number of planning of events, planning of trainings, planning of education activities. So that would be one part of it. So the communication part is also very much important as well. And I would say communication internally and externally. And my daily work would involve a number of meetings with my colleagues from my division, but also with colleagues from other divisions within NATO. Building integrity is a cross-cutting issue. It has a relevance for a number of other strands of work within NATO. So for us, it's important that we show to the colleagues in other divisions how the BI agenda or the building integrity component could actually enhance the work they are doing on their side. So that's a lot of work that we do on mainstreaming BI in everything that NATO does at the moment. I'm in constant communications with colleagues from other divisions, primarily from the operations division, but also from the defense planning and policy division, so that we could see where exactly BI could find its place in any other strands of work that are underway now within NATO. What is most important is that everybody needs to see the importance of that topic, and everybody would need to see that this topic has a relevance for anything that we do, because the topic of integrity has a relevance for sustainability of reforms and for the process of transformation that NATO is actually promoting in its partner countries. But also, this is a process which is also equally important for the allied countries and at NATO as an institution and organization.
What is the most challenging part of your work?
The most challenging part of my work is actually being able to convince other peoples of the relevance of the topic. The NATO Building Integrity Program is part of the commitment of the Alliance to strengthen good governance and to provide sustainable reforms in partner countries, also to enhancing good governance in NATO and within allies. However, we don't have to take this topic like easy to understand. It's a topic which is a little bit abstract sometimes in an environment like an organization like NATO. And therefore, it needs a lot of persistence in terms of inspiring other people to look seriously at the topic and to exactly see how this might have a relevance for their respective work. My team, we feel that there needs to be a mainstreaming of building integrity in whatever NATO does. So now we are in the process of developing a building integrity action plan, which is actually a tasking that we have received from the endorsement of the NATO building integrity policy at the Warsaw Summit. This action plan would provide us with a framework with concrete measures that would allow us to move ahead. But still, the work on understanding the importance of BI is still there, so we need to continue with that. The second challenging aspect of my work is related to change. As I mentioned earlier, building integrity is a process through which we can generate change, and the need is to sustain that change. However, it's very difficult to measure progress, and therefore many people might feel discouraged at some point and say, you know, we don't see the relevance of this work. Because I come to the third challenge in my work, which is the time factor. Sometimes we compete against priorities. And the building integrity is a process which is a long-term endeavor. And therefore, people would need to look at that from this long-term perspective. It, however, doesn't look always like that, because there are so many competing priorities. And therefore, attention might shift very quickly to a priority on the agenda, and people might not see the need to invest time and energy in a topic which results would be shown in a longer perspective. So therefore, inspiring other people and convincing them that they have to look at the building integrity concept, philosophy, and framework as a long-term project that would ensure sustainability of whatever we do over the long term is still a challenging task, but it also makes the work so much interesting.
Is diversity important in the work that you do? May I ask, is your team primarily women? And are you primarily communicating with men, especially when dealing in the military sector?
It's a very good question. And we have always seen the criticism coming from different parts of the house and from outside of the house that there are mostly women working on the building integrity program. And I think that's one of the stereotypes that exist, that women are associated with certain type of issues and certain type of work. So this is a valid criticism. Therefore, we actually welcome to have more men engaged with this topic. In fact, our director is a man, and we have a colleague, a male colleague, who is in charge of the building integrity education and training, which is very important. So diversity is very, very much important. So yes, we need to talk to both men and women at NATO and outside of NATO on this topic. Also, another important aspect is also the diversity in terms of people, of civilian staff working on that and military staff working on that. So we have a very good communication with the military colleagues and a great input and contribution to this building integrity agenda comes from the military side as well, because the military also have realized how important that topic is for the work they do. So yes, the gender perspective is important, but also the cooperation across military and civilian lines is equally important. The diversity in an organization like NATO is very important because women can bring a different type of experience and skills that can contribute to the overall mission of the organization. So there are great changes over the last few years as the gender agenda has been promoted very actively. And we see this general idea that more women need to be engaged within the organization and also at all levels.
How did you get inspired to work in international relations? Were there any early experiences for you that told you that this kind of career was going to be a good fit?
For me, working in the field of international relations came by serendipity. And I would say that's the right word for that. I cannot find another word. I know from today's perspective, it might sound a little bit strange, may not sound too professional, as I know that people now come out of university with a career plan, with objectives that they pursue over the time. However, I started work in the field of international relations quite by accident, because I'm trained in English language. My first degree is in English literature and language. And I actually started my career as a translator and interpreter. However, changes in my country, Bulgaria, in 1989 and the subsequent change of the political system somehow placed me in an environment of international relations that I followed ever since. Therefore, I did not start work in that area by design or by plan, but by accident. Later on, I discovered that this is the field of work that I am happy to work and have had great opportunities along the way to pursue my career in a different way, in different areas. And I would like to say that it's not just within the framework of NATO, but also I have had the chance to work in governmental sector, but also in the non-governmental sector. And I feel like the international relations is a field where we have the interaction from a variety of actors. And it's very important that we look at that from this perspective as well and see how everyone working in different areas could contribute to the field of international relations.
What would you tell your younger self? What do you wish you had known?
I basically learned by doing things and remained very open to the different experiences. And as I said, had not a rigid plan and remained very much open to what comes my way. If I could give an advice to my younger self, would be to persist and be aware that it's a difficult field to work and be able to keep my head above the water every time that I see a challenge. Working in the field of international relations can also make you very pessimistic sometimes. In my case, however, I felt like being able to work on a project like Building Integrity makes me a little bit more optimistic these days, because I look at the system of international relations as a construct and as a piece of work that we need to construct every day. I feel the importance of norms, of principles, of human behavior, of individual leadership. And more I see the role of this. When I was younger, I was looking at the international relations as a system. Now I look at the international relations as a combination of personalities and people that are working in that system. They are the ones to give the form and shape of this system. The decisions are with the individuals. And the question is how we make use of those decisions, how we move ahead, how we are able to inspire everyone around us to take the right decisions. And this is how I feel my role into that system. So I do not feel myself as a recipient of a system or as a passive observer of a system. I feel myself as an active participator in that system. And I am giving all my strength and intellect and commitment and engagement to that on a daily basis, which makes me an optimist, as I believe in myself.
So, in closing, what advice and motivation would you give to young women? Do we need more females in international relations?
We definitely need more women in international relations. And as we spoke earlier, it's all about diversity. It's about bringing committed, motivated women and men into the system with the right skills, the right commitment, and the right motivation. And for me, that would be the most important. And if I have to give an advice to young women, I would say if you are passionate about making your contribution to a better world, then you can start from today. What we do today actually would be a history in 1 year or in 10 years' time. I myself have lived through the end of the Cold War, and I was very young at that time. Now, what happens now? So now I feel that what I have lived through now is history. And people that would go and study international relations, we would have their lessons on the end of the Cold War. But myself, like many other people, have lived through that period. So therefore, I carry this sense of history with me. And I say what we do today actually would be a history in 10 years. Therefore, our contribution, our skills, commitment is very important today. And this is where women can come forward and be confident that they can actually be an agent of change.
A
Thanks for listening to the Women in Diplomacy podcast. The theme song for this podcast is Misty Moses by the musicians Rodrigo y Gabriela. A very special thanks to Ruby Works Records in Dublin for allowing use of this song for educational purposes. For more information, check out theforeignpolicyproject.org. And thanks for listening.